Well, the conflicts in Upper Nile, in Jonglei, and the Unity State are not the really they cannot be said to be rooted conflicts. But these are things that are being made by the enemies of South Sudan to see into it that there is no stability, and so that the people do not concentrate on developing their own resources. And for those people to come at the end of the day and say that South Sudanese are not capable of managing their own affairs, and so it can be a failed state. I'm sure that there are solutions that we can find for all these conflicts.
Mr. President, who are these enemies, if you would like to share with us?
Well, the enemies are the people who are giving arms, and who are they? I don't know. We don't have factories that manufacture Kalashnikov or any type of weapon in South Sudan. The people who use them know where do they get them from, and people of South Sudan know.
A number of issues that were part of the Comprehensive Peace Agreement are still pending. And a classical example is Abyei. The issue of Abyei is now a sticking point in your government. Have you found any solution for Abyei?
Abyei will be resolved between the National Congress Party and the SPLM in South Sudan. We have agreed on Abyei. There was nothing left. Even the boundaries of Abyei, which were rejected by the National Congress Party, we went to Hague for arbitration and we won the case. The reason why the people of Abyei did not go for a referendum is something known to the National Congress Party and President Bashir himself. The reasons are that they would want to own Abyei by force. And this is why they invaded Abyei in May, when they saw that the South have voted for independence. Abyei was supposed also to have the same concurrent referendum to decide on their future, whether to come back to the south or remain in South Kordofan. But that was not made possible for them. So it was preempted by the National Congress Party to invade Abyei in an attempt to lure us into war with them, so that the independence of South Sudan does not even take place. But we knew the trick. We did not respond to their aggression, and we told them to withdraw, because there was no any military presence from the SPLA in Abyei. They are now withdrawing. They have withdrawn most of their forces, but they still have a small force that can still be a threat to the civil population of Abyei. I'm confident that we are going to resolve it.
How? How are you going to resolve it? Because now they are withdrawing and they are still eyeing it because they believe that
No,
Abyei is part of the North.
it is not part of the North. They cannot convince anybody. Even the International Court of Arbitration, they were defeated there. They don't have any legal argument on Abyei. If they have any legal argument on Abyei, maybe because of the oil resources that are found in Abyei, and this is their problem. If there was no oil in Abyei, these people would have not even fought in Abyei. They would have withdrawn a very long time ago.
Now let's shift our topic to issues of governance. Most freedom fighters in Africa, like yourself, Mr. President, they rebel against their government and give genuine reason for the rebellion, issues of democracy, issues of good governance, freedom of speech. But when they come to power, they remain forever. Some even die in power. A classical example is President Robert Mugabe, Males Zenawi, and Isaias Afwerki of Eritrea, and President Museveni of Uganda. Is there any reason to believe that you will be different from these leaders?
But there is nothing that combined me with them. You better wait. How long am I to rule? Our constitution says that a president has 2 terms of office. Did you hear me talking about the amendment of the constitution to give me more time in the office? It is not there. So you better wait. Ask me when I talk about the amendment of the constitution.
Mr. President, but the Constitution says, it talks about the term, but it does not talk in terms of how many times President Salva Kiir can vie for that seat.
It talks about two terms, 5 years first, 5 years second.
You came for the General Assembly here and spoke to the world body about the issues regarding your country. The African Union, they have been working towards seeing that peace prevails in Sudan. How would you rate the work of African Union in terms of their contribution towards your country?
It was the African Union that mandated the IGAD countries to mediate peace in Sudan until when we signed the peace agreement in 2005. It was the effort of the African Union. Although the UN has been standing behind them, pushing them and all that, it was the initiative from the African Union. I believe they have done their part. Why we have not been able to iron out our differences with Khartoum is not because of that Africa has not done her part. It is just because Khartoum has refused to accept the reality of the situation. And from now, when I go back from here to Sudan, to South Sudan, I'll go to Khartoum to meet President Bashir personally. And we are going to talk about these issues.
Let me just jump to the issues of your economy. Oil is the mainstay of your economy in the Republic of South Sudan. And you don't have the refineries in South Sudan. You don't have the pipelines. Have you resolved the issues surrounding this two important source of economy for your country?
Well, how do we resolve them? When we were fighting, President Bashir and his party and the whole government of Sudan knew that the oil resources were in South Sudan. Instead of building the refineries in the south, they went and built them. All the oil infrastructure was built in the north. And so it will take time for us also to have the same infrastructure in the south. Plus the pipeline that goes from South Sudan down to Port Sudan to export oil. We will take time to do it, but we are already in agreement with the government of Sudan to let us export oil through the pipeline, and they just take the taxes, which is the normal thing being done internationally.
Final question is agriculture. Your country is sitting on a gold, as they say, because it's vast, it's green, the land has never been used since creation. How do you intend to develop that sector so that it can complement other sources of income generation?
Even yesterday in my statement, oil is not a renewable sort of revenue. It can be depleted at any time in future. But our main source of economy is agriculture. What we should do is to use the oil money that we have today to refuel the agriculture, and so that agriculture will be the most backbone of the economy of South Sudan. We are planning on that, and we are going to do it.
If there's anything that I have not asked you and you would like to extend this message to your people down home, what would that message be?
Our people have been patient for a very long time. What they are expecting from us, the people leading them today, is the service delivery. They need many things. They need education. They need health facilities. They need safe drinking water. They need food security. And they need physical security, that they know there must be security at home. They know that we are taking measures to address all these things. They need the infrastructure, so that there is connectivity between the capital and the states and between the states themselves. So we are working on these things, and my people will still be patient to see us doing all these things.